This session is part of the Indie Author Fringe Conference, a three times a year author conference fringe to the major publishing fairs London Book Fair, Book Expo America, and Frankfurt Book Fair. The Indie Author Fringe is run under the stewardship of the Alliance of Independent Authors, is organised by writers for writers, and is free to attend. Let's see who's sharing self-publishing insights in this session.
It's just growing and expanding for authors because we're all stepping into all sorts of different spaces. We were just talking there about indie authors. The Alliance is about writers who see themselves as the creative director of their own books, of their own words. And there are many different ways, many different formats, many different territories. And Diane Sillon of Sillon Pace
Brown.
Brown, yes, that's where Kiffer comes in. These guys are doing some very interesting things and bringing things together in a very new way. So I'm really excited to hear what they're going to talk about today, and I know you're going to learn lots from them. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Orna. I met Orna, almost 3 years ago in Charleston, South Carolina. So Chanticleer is based out of Bellingham, Washington, which is about as far north in the Northwest as you can get in the U.S. and still be here. So, and we've got Orna over in the U.K. It's really hard for us to communicate with the time difference, but we're doing it. And Diane, my partner in crime over here with Sillon Pace Brown, is out here from Oregon. So we're the West Coast, the left coast, so to speak.
Exactly.
And so Orna called and asked me if I would do something on the seven must-haves for indie authors. And of course I'd love to do that because I love indie authors. And here we go.
Okay, so I'm looking at self-publishing and wondering what are the traditional publishing tools that would be most helpful to propel careers of self-published?
Well, this is something because as we can tell here today, traditional publishers have been around a long time. They're excellent at what they're doing and they make a lot of money doing it. I think I just read something the other day, and don't quote me on it. I don't want to be sued. But Penguin brings in like $10 million a day in book sales. It's crazy. So they do some things right. But it is the new age of publishing. And there's no better time to be an author than today. We are in the new golden age of publishing. This is the best since the Gutenberg Press coming about. And so what I like to do is find out what are the secrets they are doing and then apply them. And how can indie authors apply those secrets so they too can succeed in their publishing goals? The first thing it's a secret, and once you realize about it, and we have many clients that once they start using this, they will never go back. They said it's changed their whole writing career and has accelerated their writing. And it's a manuscript overview. Have any of you heard of one?
Okay. Super important, guys.
Super important. If you were with an agent or with a publishing house, you would be having these. But because you're indie, you plunk away at home on your keyboard and you try and you write down this whole story, then you start copying, editing it, and proofing it, and you get ready to launch it, and you're throwing it out there because you're ready to publish it. What the traditional route is that you would send that first story idea, really rough draft. It's just the idea. It's just the form of it. But it's a story. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It has a plot line. It has characters. It has dialogue. You send it off to your agent or your publishing house, your senior editor. They, in turn, look at it and get back on the phone with you or just send you an email about 1,000, 2,000 words. It's sagged here. Really, you've got four story ideas in here. Your dialogue seems off for this time period. Just big, sweeping strokes. And this is, so while your editor or your agent's busy doing that, you're at home plinking away at the next story because you are creators. Authors are wizards. They create worlds and characters out of thin air. So your biggest thing, the hardest thing you do is doing that. Copy editing and proofing can be done easily. So that's the thing, is for you to keep churning out these stories and these ideas as fast as you can. You wonder why a lot of these traditional authors you see out there, they're publishing a book every year, every 6 months. This is how they do it. Okay, so you're working on your second story, all right? By that time, you throw that over the fence to your agent or your editor. In this case, you would throw it over, let's say, Chanticleer. We do manuscript overviews. They would return the first manuscript overview to you, and you look at it. You look at all their comments, their suggestions, their critiques, and you go to work on that, and you start implementing them. And you digest it, and you start working on that story while they're working on the second manuscript overview. And so forth it goes. And then you get that done. You toss that over for a line edit. So then that happens. And then it just keeps going back and forth. And that's how authors can make money and have a career at doing this. But this is how it does it. It's like being on a treadmill. It just keeps going. And you never stop writing, which I hear authors, a lot of indie authors say, I never have time to write. I'm so busy promoting or figuring out things. Well, this is how you can do that. Anyway, manuscript overview. Find out about it. You can go to our website, read about it.
So, it's such an important tool to keep your story on track, especially if you're doing a series, to have someone, another set of eyes that have that professional opinion. All right, Kiefer, so what is the single most important publishing marketing tool that you can that will help propel, sell a book?
Well, it's around everywhere today. Book covers. Even though we are a review company, for a first-time author, it is your book cover is the most important thing. And it's every piece of real estate, the spine, the front cover, the back cover, the inside, the flaps, those first few pages at the beginning, the first few pages at the end. It's the book cover.
So what are the key essentials that you look for in a great book cover? What makes a great book cover?
First of all, your hopeful potential reader who's going to buy your book and pay money for it will look at it and determine if that book is of interest. Now, if you're an indie author, there's a good chance that that book is going to be spine out, right? Maybe you'll get a face out on a bookshelf at your local, but chances are you're going to be spine out. Make sure that spine is not an afterthought. That spine should be as enticing as the front cover and as enticing as the back cover, because for many books, that is the one and only chance you get. I was going through the airport flying out here, and there's always the bookstores in the airport, and they had their shelves there, and what sure thing, everything was spined out, and I looked, and I'm noticing a trend where the spines are using two colors. So you would pick the colors that would let the reader think about, is this a book on business? Is this a book on romance? Is this a book, a thriller? Is it a paranormal? Is it a kid's book, right? And the typography on that spine with the colors would also denote more and more of what that genre is. So they should be able to look instantly and see the genre of that book cover without even recognizing the title or the author name. They should just be able to get that in less than 3 seconds.
That's pretty much all you have.
Yeah.
So the typography has to emote the, has to create the emotion of the book, has to say pretty much everything. The title is less important than the image, or what comes first?
Oh, they're both. They're okay. Both. It's like chicken or the egg.
Okay.
Chicken or the egg, title or the cover. And the thing is, if you pick it up then, they'll turn it to the front, and then you've got another way of engaging that reader one more step. And that's that cover. And the cover has to tell somewhat of the story of what's in that book. It cannot... I've got one book that came my way, had this young, scantily clad gal, lots of heavy makeup and red lips and looking sultry. And you read it, and it was very young YA... paranormal book for the young witch, and it's like, what did the cover have to do with the interior of that book? So they should be able to pick that up. The title should be clear and denote, once again, the type font denotes the emotions, and then your author name, your pen name. And that should be big. And the thing of it is, you've got to squeeze that down into where it can they can read it almost at a thumbnail, and then hopefully one day we'll see it hanging up at BEA and those 50-foot posters. Yay.
So it's really important to get that established. And if you do a series, it has to live across all of that, that series. So there's a brand platform, an author platform. That's what I wanted to ask you about. What is the cornerstone of creating an author platform?
Editorial reviews. You have to have them. And one reason why you have to have them is they basically educate your consumer on how to talk about your books. That's also why traditional publishers depend. They don't even start a book way in advance. They start getting book reviews using the advanced reader copies way before early manuscripts that I've gotten in from major top five. Things miss. They don't even have like capital letters of sentences aren't there, and it's just crazy. But the book review, the story is what we're after. And so they know to have that. But once you have that and it's up there, you give your readers the language to talk about the book. They don't know about protagonists and storylines and hero's journey and all of that that we do. They just want to read a book and be entertained. But if they like it, they want that language, that vocabulary to talk to about the book. So you need to make it easy for them. And that's what traditional publishers do. They make it easy to get those reviews.
So is there a way to leverage that book review? I mean, how do we know to make the most out of it?
Well, if you go, it's way too much to go into here, and I've just been given the time. Go visit our website, Chanticleer Reviews, and we have a whole thing about what to use once you get your editorial reviews, how do you use them, and how to make them the most effective for you and leverage them.
Okay, so let's talk about communicating in the digital age. Like, what is the best way to communicate and be out there as far as a voice?
What I always say is what my mama taught me. You must have good manners and use social etiquette. And it's very important on the internet these days. I know there are trolls out there, and there's a lot, but part of this is when you see your name as being tagged, how many of you are on Facebook? Okay. Or on Twitter? Okay. When someone tags you on something, do you share that? Do you comment on that? Or do you just let it go? Like, well, that's nice. What? Yeah. So you can retweet it, but that's the thing is if they're tagging you, that's kind of like, hello, please retweet this, please share this, please comment on this. And if you want people to work and do the same for you, you have to make the first initiative. You have to bring the pie or the cake over to their house first and welcome them to the neighborhood. So I'm a very big believer on that. And make sure when you do post to tag and use hashtags, because if you don't, your posts are going out into the ether and no one is seeing them.
So it's a really reciprocal relationship. The more you put out, the more you get back, the more it grows. So I think a lot of times we sit back and just say, oh, that's so nice they're talking about me. But you talk about them, and then they'll talk about you, and then that goes out to those circles. So.
Yeah. And just to kind of an aside to this, I'm kind of like a bumblebee. I get off track here, is if you want to get a book blurb for your book from an author that's further up the food chain from you, start liking, sharing, commenting on their social media. Write a little book review for them on theirs. Tell them how much you love that. I tell you, when you go to them and you've done that for 6 months or a year, and you ask, could you please maybe take a minute and look at my book, and if you're interested, would you might give me a book blurb for it? They'll probably do it. But if you come out at them from out of the blue going, read my book, please. You know, you great author who's so busy. So start planting those seeds early on.
Okay, there's 2 million self-published titles every year. How are you going to stand out? What are some of the best ways to stand out in this crowded world?
I believe that's the hardest question you're asking.
It is. Otherwise, we would be here.
We wouldn't be here, yes. It is the hardest question. You being an indie author, you have to do all of the above. You've got to start your author platform, and you're branding way before your book is even finished. Do not wait till your book's finished. I hear so many people say that, well, I'll get my website once my book's finished. I'll do this. You almost need to start thinking of the cover of your book before you finish your book.
What about getting beta readers?
Oh, and beta readers, I tell people this too, is that I've heard authoring a book's kind of like giving birth. Sorry, guys, but like you're 9 months and you just want to launch it. You want to push it out. You want to get it out, right? But it's too early. The number one problem I see that most authors have is they don't get enough beta readers before they launch. And again, this is what traditional publishing houses do. They already have thousands of people reading that book before it ever is published and launched. So when it is, there's already instant buzz. And I would think an author should not launch a book without having at least a minimum of 100 beta readers. And you ask, how do you get beta readers? I had no Ann Charles. Any of you heard of Ann Charles with the Deadwood series? She sells hundreds of thousands of books. And how she does that is her rule. She will not let a book go out unless she's had 1,000 beta readers. So the day that book launches on Amazon, right, and she's self-published, on Amazon she already has 100 reviews, which kicks you up into Amazon goodness land.
Wow.
And then that gets her more traction and more Amazon love. You know, and it just goes forth. But those readers are just, those beta readers, the first ones there, they buy a copy because they help make the book. It's kind of like all your aunties coming to your baby shower. You know, everybody's there wanting to help you launch your baby. And so you need to do that. If not, then you're just going to have one or two people there buying your book, you know, your mom, your cousin, your friends, you know, that's it. But you got to reach out and you say, well, how do you get beta readers? How you get them is, once again, what Ann Charles does are these Facebook events. And they're called, she calls it virtual margarita parties. And you could do your own. You could have a tea if you're doing a cozy novel, or a vampire party if you're having a paranormal book, whatever your theme, whatever your branding is. And she has these events, and she brings in other authors, and everybody broadcasts it. And I did one of her events, and I had, in 30 minutes, I had over 400 new Facebook connections. But what she does is, with her followers, she as people come on, she's like, I need a beta reader for this. And people love to be a part of that. They feel like they're helping the author out. And you ask them for input. And sometimes it's like, I'll name a character after you. You know, you can do contests. You can build up this loyal street team.
And they'll talk about it. How important are, like, writing competitions?
Writing competitions, vetted writing competitions, I have to say that. Vetted writing competitions are essential to differentiate your book. There are... we're vetted, Chanticleer International Writing Conference, vetted by ALLIE, Alliance of Independent Authors, by Where Writers Win, by IBPA, Sisters of Crime. We've got a lot. But what they do is, I always say awards are like shoes. You can't have too many. And when you're, once again, your book's in there at the bookstore with the other, if it's small little indie bookstore, there's 7,000 books, titles. So how does your book stand out? Are they, which one of these cozy novels, which one of these thrillers are they going to pick out to read? One with that won all these awards, or the other one?
Right. And plus, you can have all of your little, your arsenal with you when you go to book shows.
Yes,
and have your ribbons. And
oh, yeah. How many of y'all been to a book fair and there's been like 50 other authors there? And you're sitting there and you're kind of waiting for someone to come up to your table. She's nodding her head. Yes. So what we do, we use blue ribbons because people, I'm a marketeer. That's my background. I'm a marketer. I've watched people, and the blue ribbons, people just gravitate to them. I don't know why. We must have been, it's in our DNA or something. But I've been to these author book fairs where there'd be 50, sometimes like RWA National, where there's just, I swear there are 1,000 there. And the ribbons, they stand them up. They're about that big. And of course, we have the stickers and all that. And then people just come to that. If there's a whole row, where are you going to go? You're going to go where the ribbon is. So
to wrap it up, because I know we're running out of time, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about if what should always grow and never disappear.
Ah, the riddle. Does anyone have the answer to the riddle? Did you hear the riddle?
What should always grow and never disappear in your writing career?
Your backlist. You as authors need to continue to create stories. You have to create stories because once a reader finds some, you do find that reader and they like your work, they want the next package of M&Ms. They want another book from you. They want to read what you've got next.
And they also want to read what you wrote before. So the books that you thought were long gone are suddenly reinvented and revisited. So.
Yes, and with the internet today, used to, you'd have 30, 60, 90 days at most to make your book a winner or not. Now what we have is this long tail where you can have success. And it comes from having your backlist, titles that you've done, so when that one strikes a chord and they want to read more, it's out there. Then by that time too, if you have your covers and they all relate, because how many of you have read a book and someone said, well, who wrote it? And you're like, I don't know. And then you're trying to think of what the title is, right? And you're like, I don't know. But it was really good. You have to help your readers spread the word about you and evangelize you. And you have to help them find your work. So you got to do that. And a way, if we go full circle, to keep putting those books out there is try out that secret tool, the manuscript overview. I think it is could be like the most powerful tool in your writer's arsenal to help you with the competition today.
We don't have time for question and answer, but we do. Okay, good. Yay.
You mentioned beta readers. So what is the best way to get the book to them? Like have them download a PDF, go online, email it to them. And then, you know, what about it getting out to more than the people that you want to just beta read it? Like everybody starts sharing it. How does that all work?
I don't think there's a simple answer to that, but...
Well, there's not a simple answer, but the thing of it is, that's where it comes back to the social graces and being charming, is that I think you email and you let them know that this they're very special, you want their feedback. You know, they cannot share. If they do share it with anyone, please ask you because you want to add that person to your street team. You can ask them, like, if you have other people who would like to read this, I would be glad to share my book, but I want them to be part of my beta readership. I want their feedback. And it's amazing how well it works. There's always a bad apple. And you can't, you know, there just is. But for the most part, the women that I know and the men that I know who do this do not have that problem at all. Yeah. And get the emails. That's the whole thing. You want to get them on your Facebook, your Twitter, on your email account, get them subscribed to your blog post, all of that. And they love the fact that they're special, and they are special. It takes the average reader 8 to 10 hours to read a book. And in today's time, that's forever. How many of us have 8 to 10 hours a week for just doing something fun? You do? You want to be a beta reader? Okay, good, good. So, all right, they cut me off. All right. Anyway, Chanticleer Reviews, and I'll be out here if any of y'all want to talk or pick up a card.
You've been listening to another great session brought to you by the Indie Author Fringe and the Alliance of Independent Authors, Ally. You can find out more about both by visiting Ally's Self-Publishing Advice Center, www.selfpublishingadvice.org. Now, go write and publish.